Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. It is September 1st. It's also Labor Day weekend. And I hope that wherever you are celebrating with friends and you are with your family and having a good time and enjoying a wonderful holiday weekend. I am thankful that you are here joining me today. As we celebrate Labor Day a little bit, and we, of course, celebrate our faith together. It is a Sunday for communion, so you will hear me at the end of my sermon transition to the table. Just know, as I say, every communion Sunday especially, but it's true every week, that I want you to go find a place where you can sit in a pew and be fed communion. And you can sit in a pew with other people and be in communion and community and relationship with believers. So if this is the only way that you worship, I'm so glad that you've got this to be a part of your life. And I'm thankful that you're here and you're welcome. But I also encourage you to maybe make this a supplement to some worship with a church of believers. I'm so thankful that you're here on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Let us come together today in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. As we honor tomorrow those who support us by their work, I offer this blessing to all of those teachers, farmers, factory workers, doctors and nurses, field hands, firemen and policemen, for every person that will work tomorrow so we can celebrate the very people who make our lives better and create our ability to have a day of rest while they still work. Hear now this prayer. We gather today to salute all who labor, to provide for their families and make our world a better place. Work is a noble enterprise, and all lawful professions are worthy of recognition. Through our work, we teach others, care for the affairs of our community, and cultivate our world and our land. Through our work, we uplift the brokenhearted, and we fend for the underrepresented, each of us filling our role in God's grand design. All who work are to be compensated honorably, and their contributions to our society are not to be diminished. We bless the Lord who gives us strength to work, grace to achieve, compassion to serve, and a favor to excel. Hear now the words of the psalmist as we move into our Old Testament scripture. Psalm 15 reminds us of how we can abide in the graces of God. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us say now those words that we say each week that are a reminder of the things we believe. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come together to honor these scriptures for today and to honor all of those who work each day that we are off so we can be off, let us remember those firemen and policemen, those nurses and doctors who keep us safe and healthy. Let us remember those workers in the field and the factories and the truck drivers that bring us the food that we eat. Let us remember them every time we gather, because we can gather only because they labor. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture lesson does a lot of jumping around, so I'm going to read from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll move to 14 and 15, and then end with 21 through 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash. And there are also many other traditions that they observe. The washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Excuse me. Employees must wash hands. It is posted in every restaurant restroom that I have been in during the last 20 years or so. Every time I see one of those signs, without fail, I think to myself, why do they have to be reminded? Were they raised in a barn? And then I stop myself and remember that I do not want to be that old crotchety lady that says things like, "Were you raised in a barn?" And then I also remember that there are times when I forget to do the most basic of things. Drink enough water. Fill out the parking pass renewal for Emery. Set my alarm to the correct time. Sometimes the most basic of tasks, even the ones that make life better and help us stay healthy, are the easiest to forget. we haven't heard from the scribes and the Pharisees for a while. But here they are again, judgmental and crotchety as ever. But unlike the employees must wash hands signs, the Pharisees and scribes were not really concerned about the health and well-being of people. Would it have been better for the disciples to wash their hands before they ate? Sure. Today we have a much better and more thorough understanding of germs and transmission of diseases, so we know the benefits to the body of washing hands before we eat. But what these crotchety old fellows were trying to do was once again call these rebels, these renegades, these rule-breaker followers of Jesus out for their breaking of a law. I'm certain it was not done out of concern for their health. I'm sure it was done to make them feel inferior and less than. And of course, they use their old standby. They talk about the tradition of the elders of hand washing. But this was a law that man had imposed. It's not as clear in scripture as the Pharisees and scribes try to say it is. The only real reference to hand washing laws in the Old Testament is in Exodus 30, verses 17 through 21, and a section titled The Bronze Basin. It says this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'You shall also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of the meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet, so they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations.'" The law is more about the basin and the ritual of hand washing than anything to do with an actual meal. But over the centuries, these laws had taken on a life of their own. Is it a good practice? Sure. Is it lawful according to Jewish law? That's a big stretch. Jesus sees what they're doing. They're imposing the laws of the elders as laws of God. So Jesus sets them straight. He quotes actual law in Isaiah 19:13 and calls them hypocrites when he does it. He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." Tell us how you really feel, Jesus. They say one thing, but their hearts are doing the exact opposite. They use human teaching as doctrine rather than actual teachings in Scripture. "You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition," Jesus admonishes. It is not just that they were interpreting the laws incorrectly. Jesus said they have abandoned them for their own uses and traditions. Can we see those same things happening in our world today? Can we see where laws of faith are being used through a human lens instead of one that is of Jesus? Do we use Old Testament scripture to justify harming others or separating them out or calling them to task for our own justification of piety? Jesus goes on to define exactly what defiles us. It has nothing to do with whether we wash our hands or use a bronze basin as outlined in the Old Testament vaguely. It has to do with our heart. It has to do with how we treat others. It has to do with how we act toward others. Here it is again, friends. Love God and love your neighbor. It has to do with how we interact and love others. Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. It is what comes out of what resides inside our hearts that shows whether we are defiling God or not. Old Testament laws are no longer the measure, but our hearts and how closely we are to emulating Jesus that is the measure. If we were to hang signs in the bathhouses and outhouses of the Pharisees and scribes, they would not say employees must wash hands. They would inadvertently be correct about the practice. So I'm not suggesting we quit washing our hands before we eat. I'm not suggesting that we neglect the health of our bodies to care for our souls. What I'm suggesting is that for those of us who proclaim to be believers, our signs should be different. Our signs should maybe read, "Believers, wash your hearts." We should use the laws of Jesus as a guide for how to show God's love and treat people in the world. We should rid ourselves of evil in our own hearts before we worry about washing someone else's. We should show kindness and mercy. We should extend as much grace as those around us as we do to those around us, as we do inside the walls of our church. And as much grace as Jesus showed all of the sinners that he ate with and brought into his fold of believers. We should quit using our own measuring sticks and show others what it's like to be in relationship with the God who loves us. One of the best places to do that is at the table. When we come to the table, we are reminded of the love that Jesus showed by becoming a new covenant. His replacement of the old laws with his body and blood. It is his love that we use today as a foundation of our faith and the measure of how we treat others. It is out of our cleansed hearts that we move throughout the world and show his love to others. Let us be mindful of that sacrifice and cleansing as we come together at the communion table. May the words that we speak today fall on fresh ears and clean hearts as we remember, as a reminder of the law that Jesus left before his sacrifice. Amen. As we go throughout our week, anytime we use Old Testament or old ways of man's judgment of people, maybe we stop for just a second and remember that we're using the wrong laws. Because the only law that matters is to love God and love your neighbor. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.